After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome, everybody, to Mad Blurry Hysteria 70,69,000 billion. I'm Chris Cogswell, joined with the boys. Boys, introduce yourselves.
We're angels this week. Didn't you hear the harps and shit right there?
I heard it. You know. I played it.
What's up? This is Brent from Hysteria 51. Yeah.
The award-winning Hysteria 51.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that you watched the unwatchable stream. Yeah, they just did the Paranormal Podcast Awards. They streamed it, and they ended up having to turn it off because the stream was so bad. It was like, go.
Hilarious.
Brian Sprague.
To watch the unwatchable stream.
But we won, what was it? Best comedy, paranormal comedy show of 2021. So.
Go.
That is a resume builder right there.
That's awesome. That's good stuff right there.
I got
there.
The tattoo appointment scheduled for Thursday.
Let's see Wendy's turn you down this time.
That's right.
All right. And of course, also joined here by Dave. Dave, say hello. Where can people find you?
Hey, what's up, you guys? I am from the worst comedy podcast of 2021. It's David Flora. What's up?
Is that actually voted on? Did we finish that? I didn't know. I didn't get my mail-in ballot.
Voted on in everyone's hearts, I can tell you that.
Definitely the way those votes happen in this house.
Now, unfortunately, Ew. Cyber Ninjas is just running the entire voting process. They're not going back and checking it, so we'll see.
I gave them a mission, and they still effed it up completely. What they were supposed to do, they couldn't even do it.
It happens. It happens.
They're so? Like, there's so little comedy in this podcast, we can't even pretend that it got stolen from.
I don't know if you guys know this, but the weather's changed, and I'm fucking dying. I've been sick almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah, it hit me last week, so I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's been rough. This time of year, it's like, suddenly the weather decides that all the pressure changes are just going to go directly to the sides of my head. And just push in, you know, until it finally pops like a grape, which is going to be really exciting for everybody. I hope we'll catch it on the live
stream. It's either the pressure change or stress of your life. One or the other. I'm not sure.
Right. It'll be either the crushing pressure of the air or the crushing pressure of life.
Could you imagine if the weather like was proportional to the stress that you and the pressure you feel in day-to-day life?
Why is it raining? Brent's got a hangnail.
Honestly, it might, that might kind of make me feel better if the weather could, like, you know, I'll just, true. I don't know. You can tell whose tweets I'm reading by, like, the size of the firestorm outside, you know, just the pure unadulterated anger. Yeah. All right.
It's like, well, it's like, what? Oh, a nice day. Oh, Chris has just sparked a doobie.
Right. Clearly Chris is smoking.
Finally relaxing.
Clearly Chris is smoking and playing video games.
It's,
all day.
It's actually pronounced dookie, and he slipped one. There's a difference.
Oh, God. All right. This week, as always, we're going to go through the weird news that we each find and think is hilarious. So, Brent, why don't you give us a start us off here?
Well, 'tis the season, the spooky time of year. It's probably coming out after Halloween, but it's okay. Nightmare on Elm Street house listed for $3.5 million. That's my headline this week. The house that serves as the filming location for Wes Craven's 1984 slasher film, A Nightmare on Elm Street. I've never really heard of it. I don't think it caught on. It's on the market. Los Angeles home. It's a really nice house. It's that cookie cutter white, you know, it looks like you should have a white picket fence, just a gorgeous little house. And it's kind of iconic. It's the one that the mom got like pulled in through the window and shit, you know, from the gorgeous house. $3.5 million. It was purchased previously for $2.1 million in 2013. So as you can see, that's called inflation, my friends.
Tidy little profit there.
Yeah. So if you guys want to live in LA, you want a really nice, beautiful family home and the stench of Robert Englund in the background. The only, actually, I would think if you live a place like that, and I would go out too far to say is probably not even as bad as a place like Amityville, the house from there. You're going to have people outside taking photos quite frequently, I would think. And I would wonder if you get like those weird people that are like snooping around back and shit that you got to contend with. I would never do something like that because that's creepy as hell. But I see people do that. I don't even like going up to celebrities and talking to them because I don't want to bother them.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it say what neighborhood it's in?
It says, it doesn't, but I could probably find you the exact address if you want. It just says Los Angeles home, 3-bedroom Spalding Square house. I don't know what a Spalding Square house, maybe that's the style. It's realty agent Douglas Elliman. So if you want to give him a call, yeah, you can do that.
That's the name. Yeah, that's wild. I'm with you, Brent. I don't think I would live in a famous abode like that just so I didn't have to deal with.
Yeah, but it's every bedroom has an ensuite, so really, I mean, stalkers and lunatics outside shitting in your, where you sleep, and I mean, they, hand in hand.
Updated ceilings, I heard. Yeah,
no popcorn there. Yeah, and no flood damage from the, I don't think, no wait, Johnny Depp wasn't in that house, so you know. Yeah, you know,
four, I don't remember.
they all run together. Were you guys Nightmare on Elm Street fans?
Honestly, I am not. I don't know. I like the, I don't know, horror movies for me. Like, I love horror movies, but the only like horror movie that I watch again and again, I guess, and like really consider myself a fan of is the Silence of the Lambs movies. Yeah. I absolutely love those. And I guess actually, weirdly enough, I have watched Hereditary like 15 times, I think. So, super good. It's really good. Yeah, it's super duper good.
I watched them as a kid, but that's kind of, I never got like super into it. Like, you know, like I kind of let it, it's fun. And if it's on, I'll throw them on. And, you know, a few years ago, I watched several. I went through like I watched these and Hellraiser and a few others a few years ago just to, you know, watch them again. But, it's not on my I have to watch all the time list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in this house, the only movie that's like, if this movie comes, so the 40-year-old virgin, if the 40-year-old virgin comes on, it doesn't matter. Like, if my wife was waiting in an airport and the 40-year-old virgin was like on someone's iPad, she would take the iPad from the person and watch the movie.
Like, I'm kind of like that way with Major League. Like, I just love that movie. And when it's on, I'm like, man, I'm watching it.
It's super, I mean, yeah, it's such an interesting, like, I don't know. It's such an interesting one. But anyways, so it's, yeah, it's, but I don't know, Nightmare on Elm Street, I think the thing is too, like, it kind of is, it's like late. I don't know. It came out early for, I guess, my, what's the word? It came out before I was really like old enough to like horror movies.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So my first introduction to like Freddy Krueger was Freddy versus Jason. And that's not a good introduction, you know? So,
well, I used to be scared of them as a kid. And I think it was late 80s or early 90s that I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to give this a try. Like, this is, I don't know how old I was. Probably, I would say fourth, fifth, or sixth grade, just give you some kind of range. But I was like, I'm finally going to watch these and just see what this is about. And I watched them, and I wasn't scared at all.
Yeah.
I was. Mm-hmm. I actually thought they were really funny. And I was like,
yeah,
Freddy is hilarious. Probably started my love of puns. I don't know. But I blew through them, and I was like, these are so funny. And I didn't think they were like art or, you know, anything right. groundbreaking or amazing, but I was like, this is entertaining. And this wasn't, you know, I was dumb to be scared of these, I guess. So yeah, it's not like a groundbreaking thing for me. But I appreciate them. And of course, you know, Freddy is such an iconic horror figure now. So,
yeah. Well, it is a funny thing. Using an example, you said like 80s, early 90s. I got a buddy whose kid is 10, going to be 11 here soon. And he constantly is like, he wants a Freddy Krueger glove for his birthday. And he wants a Jason mask. I actually got him a Freddy Krueger glove for his birthday. And he wants it. And he loves talking about this stuff. He is terrified, though, of like kids' scary movies. He's never seen any of them. And it's such a conundrum to me because he won't watch them, and his dad wouldn't let him watch them if he wanted to, or his mom especially. But like Scooby-Doo ghost movies kind of like bother him a little bit. There's something there that is like the draw, and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's his Sarah friends Michelle that Gellar. Like
Matthew Lillard. He's scared to death of Matthew Lillard.
Oh, what's interesting though is I actually, it's funny. I have with the Freddy Krueger movies, my version of that same story, Dave, is with Hellraiser. So
I haven't seen Hellraiser.
Dig those. They're trippy ass movies.
When I was a kid, I thought that movie looked super scary, like way too scary to ever watch. And then I finally saw it as like a teenager.
And you're like, what?
And basically was like, this is really dumb.
No, you know,
I thought they were so stupid.
They're really cheesy, but in its own. Yeah. And Jesus wept. And
they're very like heavy handed 1980s heavy metal cover.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah,
they're, I don't know. So yeah, it's an interesting one. But so yeah, I don't think I would like to live in a house like that though, that's so famous or anything. I mean, even living in an area, I think, like, you know, we up here in New England, there's a lot of, you know, little pretty coastal towns that you can go to, and you go there on the weekends or like, you know, for a vacation or whatever, and you can feel the locals like cursing you out in their thick New England accents, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't even think I'd want to live in an area that has like a huge amount of tourism, even in that same way. I mean, you know, growing up in New York, like I know we did the same thing. Like I hated tourists, dude. Cause they get in the way and they're clogging up the, you know, whatever.
Like the white people in Hawaii that have lived there for 3 years and now are mad at all the tourists. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The, what's that thing from, or that South Park
yeah.
Yes. Here's your Oahu card or whatever. Oh my God. All right. Well,
a lot around here too. It's a tourist, it's a ski town. And so, you know, they have tourist seasons and, the locals are really like, they depend on these people for their money, but they're assholes to them.
Right. I mean,
it's a weird balance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I avoid downtown Chicago in those times. And that's why I don't go to Navy Pier and places like that when I don't need to, because it is just people, you know, bobblenecking, looking at everything and taking up time and you can't get anywhere. And yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah. here in Boston, we call that college season.
Fuck yeah, Boston. Boston is the worst town to get around in anyway, because it's
impossible.
Your streets don't make any sense.
I just watched Dune And it's like, you know, in Dune, you need the spice to travel the stars. It's like that in Boston. You need to like drink a Sam Adams to figure out how the fuck you're going to get from like, you know, Haymarket to like Downtown Crossing. It's like, there's just no way. You guys just
rode lobsters everywhere.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We just rode, pioneers used to ride these babies for miles. All right. So my story this week is, so you guys have heard of Pablo Escobar.
Yep. No, I don't believe in drugs.
Okay, so you don't believe it. That's fine. We'll just ignore you.
I don't believe they exist. You know, it's like,
oh, okay, all right, that's interesting. So it's like So Pablo Escobar famously, or kind of infamously, in Colombia, imported 4 hippos.
Yes,
and they then, you know, bred. So when he was finally killed in 1993, they were set free. Yeah. And since then, they have just like basically taken over the Colombian forest. And so there are now 80 hippos. So he died in 93. That means that they have been pumping out baby hippos, you know, at a very, very quick clip.
And remind you, hippos are incredibly dangerous.
They are the most dangerous, like one of the most dangerous animals. And so there's now 80 of them just kind of around in Colombia. And so there's been this big challenge where people are trying to decide, like, you know, it's, again, these are an imported species to the area. But like, they also are sort of maybe not so bad. It's like sort of an interesting thing because, you know, they think that there's about 80 to 120 hippos total in all of Colombia. And they are, it's the biggest herd outside of Africa.
Wow.
Now they're an introduced species, so they're not native to Colombia. But now they've like, there's kind of cases against, like there's cases for and against leaving the hippos alone, I guess. But so the Colombian government wanted to get rid of the hippos. Because again, you have these like death tanks.
I want to put a hit on these hippos,
right? That shouldn't be there. And they're kind of messing up everything, and they're messing up the ecosystem and, you know, local animals and whatever. And so, what basically happened was the court of, in Colombia, there was a challenge to the government's decree to make killing, you know, to basically say, we're going to kill the hippos and round them up. The Animal Legal Defense Fund filed an application on their behalf in Colombia to try to stop the country from killing them and instead to introduce to them basically like, you know, what's the word? Like prophylactics. So not condoms or anything, right? No one's like, you know, wrapping up a hippo.
There's a hell of a job to get entry level. Yeah, you
know, how am I supposed to get over there, right? But, you know, they're basically giving them a drug that makes it so that they can't procreate. And so what's interesting, though, about this is so the lawyer, so Luis Domingo Gomez Maldonado, put it out there basically again saying sterilization is a better option than rounding them up and killing them. And so the way, though, that that happened was a petition had to be made by the Animal Legal Defense Fund, but that can only happen if there is legal standing for the hippos to be protected in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Right. So in a weird legal event, these, what every news site is calling the cocaine hippos, although I don't think they're on cocaine, they are now legally recognized as non-human persons in Colombian and U.S. law.
Which is why Ancient Aliens is now doing a story on them, because
right, because maybe the hippos super pack. Yeah, maybe the hippos built the pyramids. What's interesting, actually, is so there are some researchers actually just as recently as 2020 have made the argument that actually the reintroduction of large herbivores into areas like Colombia might actually be like fixing the ecosystem back to what it should be like. They're basically making the argument that since humans first got to areas like Colombia, we destroyed the existence of like large bodied mammals. And so reintroducing them might be better for the environment than getting rid of them.
That's the whole argument with bringing back the woolly mammoth, is to introduce them back in the tundras, because not having the large bodied mammals there, they say, actually has a negative effect on carbon footprints and global warming and everything. It's crazy.
Right. The only problem I have with those arguments, because like, believe me, I think it's hilarious that there are hippos floating around now, like attacking, you know, just wrecking shit in Colombia. I think it's hilarious that it's Pablo Escobar's lasting legacy are these death hippos. The problem with that is every single time we have ever in the history of humankind thought to ourselves, hey, I know how to improve upon nature, we fuck it up. You know what I mean? So right. It's like, you know, the damage is done. I don't know. It just seems like, again, like in The Simpsons, there's that episode where they kill all those birds with the lizards, and then, or they kill all the lizards with like snakes, and then with the snakes, they got to kill them with bears. And then for the bears, they got to give everyone guns. Like, it just seems like that is what, you know, it's just, don't do it, man. Just don't introduce species and don't try to fix it. Once you've done it, it's too late. It's happened now.
There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly.
I mean, this does kind of sound like them being like, hey, this is actually a good thing, right? So we don't really have to do anything about this, right?
Right, right. It's kind of like no one wants to go out and be the guy that has to shoot the hippo.
Let's go to an actual scientist and see what they have to say.
If you look at all the pieces, it's the only conclusion that you can draw.
Yeah, I think that sums that up really well.
The only conclusion you can draw.
Thank you, Captain Vague.
what animal are these replacing that is rebalancing the environment?
Well, that's the part that doesn't make any sense. The argument they're making is that they're like replacing animals that went extinct like millions of years ago.
Yo.
But here's the thing, though, and I was just reading something about that, is we think on a very small scale in time, but the world moves in large scale ages, and stuff that happened 10,000 years ago from over deforestation, from hunting and shit like that, can now be having effects on the planet now that we don't see. So I think that has at least a value to look into, because I think we focus on such a short amount of time, which is also important, but not to forget on the larger grand scheme of things too. All that means is I don't fucking know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Anyone saying like we should bring back mammoths or we should bring hippos into the, you know, anyone making those kinds of arguments, it's like, you know, they are one bad episode of Frasier away from becoming a supervillain.
Or they're one good episode of something from Curing the Planet, and then we all live in like a giant naked colony and have sex all the time because we now know true bliss. Chris, you got to look at the big picture, man.
Brent, naked colonies. I already offered you that naked option, and you turned me down, so I don't know what to tell you.
I just don't want to be your top.
Dave, what is your story this week?
Mine is pretty short and sweet. It ties into one of my favorite episodes that I've covered in the recent past. John Dee used a spirit mirror, or a black mirror, that was used to contact, angels, the spirits that could tell you what the future held, this and that. But this one's from Live Science. Spirit mirror used by 16th century occultist John Dee came from the Aztec Empire.
Ooh.
So it was claimed by Dee back in the day that he got this black mirror from, you know, the, I guess, the quote unquote savages of Central America or whatever. And so, you know, that automatically bestowed mystical properties just because it was exotic. But people were like, These mirrors, you know, there's plenty of fakes out there. He could have been just talking it up, talking in hyperbole that this volcanic obsidian glass mirror that was, you know, shaped in a circle and had a little thing to hang it on, that it wasn't actually Aztec, or didn't come from a Central America civilization. Well, apparently they have, because some of these have survived and the British Museum has them, they've tested some of these and they have found that, yes, in fact, his main scrying tool there with the Black Mirror did come from Aztec people.
Oh, shit. So what we're getting at is it's all true.
It's all true. So, you know, talk to Uriel, talk to the Archangel Michael, whoever you want. Talk to all the thrones and dominions out there.
You know, figure it out, well, all out. Tying it back with Chris's story, if you use one of those Pablo Escobar mirrors for their purpose, you could talk to all sorts of shit, too. So you more have to snort off of it than look into it. But, I mean, it's similar. It's similar.
What I think is really funny is you can now buy obsidian mirrors on like Etsy for like $25. And it's just so funny to me to think like, you know, this item of great magical importance can be shipped to you from a guy whose name is Dogfart 15. You know, it's just ridiculous.
You know, if you pay full price, he'll throw a couple crystals in with it too.
Right, exactly.
I guarantee that John D had some dealings with Dogfart something or another.
Right? Oh, definitely. So oh, you absolutely
know. With all the grave robbing going on and all of that crap, like, he definitely talked to Dogfart.
Hello, Governor. This is Dogfart.
Hello, Mr. D. My name's Dogfart.
Mr. D, what body part would you like to know?
I love the pictures from the 1800s with the dudes just selling mummy pieces and parts on the side of the road and shit. You know, this is all boner, right, well, powder. Have, you know that, devolved, right?
We have devolved directly into dog farts now. anything else, guys? Any other weird stuff going on this week? Anything people looking forward to? You guys ready for Halloween?
Well, go watch it. Go watch Inside Job, that new cartoon on Netflix, and it might seem a little familiar to you. I don't know. Well, that might be fun.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a show about the secret government, like the organization that runs the world. And there's a robot they made that turns evil, but it turns out just to be kind of lazy and just sits around and watches TV. And one of the main guys is Brett Hand, who they accidentally spelled his parents in Cameron, called him Brent. And yeah, so it's got a little bit of that seems familiarness to it.
Like,
so
what? Like, actually, what are the statistical chances that it could just be?
Yeah,
like, I feel like Giorgio Tsoukalos. Like, yeah. What are the chances that it could actually, like they have never heard of your show called Hysteria 51, with a guy named Brent Hand doing it and a robot who wants to take over the world? Like, I don't know, man.
It's a little on
like
the nose, right? It is funny this week. You brought up Twitter earlier. I almost said it then. A bunch of people have been tagging Netflix and been like, Netflix, just throwing this out there. You know, this is very similar, right? Here, one person's like, this can't be a coincidence, right? So it has been a little bit funny to me.
It feels like when, you know, you get like, yeah, you get too high and then you're like, I've got a great idea, man. These fucking four little dwarf kind of dudes are going to go on a mission about a mystical item that is created by the god of, you know, work or whatever. They got to throw it into the mountain because it's his soul and stuff. And there's going to be a wizard and elves and there's going to be other dwarves. And it's
what are you
going to
call it?
Great.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
And then you come to and you look at your notes and you're like, ah, shit, I rewrote The Hobbit.
God of the Jewelry.
Like, ah, not again.
God of the Jewelry is going to be fantastic.
Dean of the Rings.
Yeah, so I know. But the problem is, if I did come out and say anything, the fans of the show would just trounce me. You know what I mean?
You're stupid. Which is crazy because it's your name. It's your name in life. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it would be funny if it was Chris with a K Cogswell.
Yeah. Well, that, like, that's, dude, it's like the guy's, yeah, it's like the guy's name was Chris Cogswell.
Yes, oh, and the lead again. Is
100% what it's like.
The lead is the other lead person is Reagan, who happens to be my niece's name too. So that's fun.
It's just an interesting times. All right, well, folks, thanks for listening to us. You can always find us on our podcast, so Hysteria 51, Blurry Photos, the Mad Scientist Podcast. We love you all so much. Thank you for listening to this mad, blurry hysteria.
See you next time.
Bye. We can adjourn.